It's good to be here tonight with you all. I've got to admit, I feel a little bit of an imposter preaching on Remembrance Sunday, on the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, knowing that I personally am not 104 and can't remember the First World War, and I'm of a generation where the majority of my, I don't think I had a single relative who was alive, apart from my nana, who was born 4 months before the end of the First World War. I feel a little bit of an imposter knowing I can't remember the Second World War, but I know that there are many in my family who remember that war as well. And it's good to think about family and loved ones. For some in this room, tonight and today have been about remembering family, loved ones and friends killed in battle during First World War, Second World War, and mourning for the futures that they sacrificed. I am 25 years old, and when I was asked to take the evening slot on Remembrance Day, I must admit I did freeze a little bit. My mum and dad had me quite late in life, and you know, like I say, my nana, Gladys, she was born in July 1918, just 4 months before the end of the First World War. My dad has told me that my granddad, Nesbitt, he was in World War II. A quick search of a war memorial website when I was preparing revealed that many Fenwicks from the same area as my family who sacrificed their lives in the war. My family, like many of yours, were undoubtedly touched by war. Now, I can't remember that war, the first or the second, but I refuse to forget that sacrifice. When I was 8 years old, I remember very vividly coming home from school one day and turning on the TV and watching the news, just in time to see a second passenger aeroplane crash into the World Trade Center. I've always loved being up to date with the world events, but here in that moment, I and probably so many of you here witnessed the world change forever. I can remember the arguments on the TV at the time. Should we go to war? Are there weapons of mass destruction? Just how dangerous is Saddam? I remember the day Saddam was toppled. I remember his capture, just how different he looked with that beard and covered in dirt. I remember when Dr. David Kelly was found dead, and I remember watching the death toll of British and American service personnel creeping up. 179 Brits died in all over an 8-year period. And likewise, our nation's involvement in the Afghanistan war. 2,412 British troops so far to remember on Remembrance Sunday. For many of this room, part of your remembrance will be the Falklands War. You'll remember the Argentinian invasion of the island. You'll remember moments like the sinking of the Belgrano and just 2 days later, the HMS Sheffield. 255 British military personnel died during that war. For many, undoubtedly, still a painful, painful time to remember. And we remember that sacrifice today. We remember the sacrifice of all soldiers, all death in war. And I bring these conflicts up because war teaches many of us the value of love, the value of family, and the value of peace. That out of such a horrendous time such as war, we can see the real value of love and family and peace. That we celebrate when our loved ones come back. We mourn when loved ones unfortunately don't make it back from these horrors. Wherever possible, we celebrate all that these values represent. For many, after World War I, relatives would have returned home in coffins. Pain and sadness would have visited the vast majority of homes in our country. And for those who've lost loved ones in war, the pain must be truly unthinkable. But for the 886,342 British troops killed in battle, they died for a cause bigger than themselves. They signed up for king and country. They died so that we might know freedom. Because of their sacrifice, we can sit here in this room in a free country. I can stand here and preach in a free country. But increasingly and unreversingly, with the passing of time, my generation and those coming after must pick up a baton of remembrance. It may not feel so raw for those of us who haven't experienced these horrendous, horrendous periods of time. And it may feel difficult to remember those who, in many cases, are no longer in our living memory. But it's so incredibly important that we don't let that die. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Our troops sacrificed their lives, and today's troops stand ready and willing to do the same should it be necessary. And without diminishing their incredible sacrifice and their willingness to defend us when necessary, I'd like to talk to you about an eternal sacrifice. See, soldiers in various wars all fight with one thing in common. They live and die for the rights of others to remain free from tyranny and evil. Today we can honor all they did for us and continue to do, and thank them and thank God for their sacrifice. But I, for one, am so privileged to be able to honor and thank my ultimate King Jesus, who the Bible describes as both lion and lamb. And when we look at Hebrews 9, we see him so clearly. Now, I want to really focus in on one verse in particular. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give a little bit of an overview of the passage. Now, essentially, we have the author here talking about something called the First and the Second Covenant. Now, if you're new with us tonight, don't worry. I'm not going to launch into that without explaining a little bit. I don't want to assume that you know what on earth I'm describing. When we make a covenant with God, it's a deep promise that can't be broken. So, for example, when I married my wife, I made vows before God to love, honor, serve, and protect her until the day that one of us is standing face to face in his presence. The people God created in the Garden of Eden at the start of the Bible, Adam and Eve, they sinned and couldn't be in God's presence. Now, sin is any act of selfishness that results in putting our own will before that of God's. At the center of every sin is I. Not me personally. I, as in I. that would be very awkward if I was the one standing in front of you and I was the center of sin. So, for example, anger says, I want that person to hurt. I want that person to hurt. But its opposite, peace and forgiveness, says, that person wronged me, but I'm going to show radical kindness to them. Adam and Eve faced the temptations of stuff and status. They ate this fruit and they gained the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to be like God. They put I before God. Now, eventually, God gave the people the law. They couldn't enter his presence because of their sin, and they needed a way to do it. So God gave them this set of rules and regulations, punctuated with regular animal sacrifice, which those of you who were here last week, Pam explained a little bit about and I thought she did a good job of that. Now, the blood representing the life of the animal was used to take away sin. And that was the first covenant, a promise from God that the people could enter his presence and have this relationship. They had to follow these rules and make these sacrifices. But the people couldn't keep to this. The rest of the Old Testament, after this law is given, is full of stories of people failing to live by God's commands. I'll tell you what, it is tragic when you read some of these stories and you just think, you just want to shout at these people in the Bible, how can you be so stupid? You're going away from the will of God. You're putting I before God. The sacrifice of animals could only provide temporary relief. But when Christ came, he lived a perfect and blameless life and died a sinner's death on the cross. Christ spilled his own blood. Not just human blood, but the blood of someone who was fully God. And that was the second covenant, that we can enter God's presence, not because of anything we've done, but because of his love poured out for us, his blood shed on the cross. God, three distinct persons in one God, came to earth. He shed his blood because blood had to pay for sin. And the verse I'm going to focus on here is Hebrews 9, verse 28, but I want to read it in two parts. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life with the Father. Without coming to know his love for ourselves, there is no way to experience eternity in his presence and instead face eternal punishment. But on the cross, he won a war against sin and death, a permanent victory that cannot be overcome. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Through his death, he took our sin upon himself, paid our penalty for all of our wrongdoing in the past and the future, and he made a way for our relationship with God to be restored. But the second part of that verse, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back to bring salvation to those who are waiting. Now today we've remembered those who were killed in earthly wars. We're remembering Jesus who died so that we could be forgiven. But I want to encourage us all to look to the battle that each of us must fight as well. While we wait for salvation, patiently and longingly, how are we using our time? Now, Jack, I've pre-prepped you. Can I chuck this to you? Hopefully this is going to throw it, expand. No, can you come grab it by any chance? Just roll it out. Jack is just going to roll this out all around the church, right the way out. It might take a minute. That's absolutely fine. Just keep going, Jack, until there's no more string left. It's long, and that is for an exact reason. How long is a piece of string, indeed? It's not really string. I found it in the art box in the youth room. I needed a piece of string, but didn't have any actual string at home, unfortunately. It's got stuck. Well, perhaps we can imagine that the whole thing is unfurled while Jack continues to unfurl it, then. Okay, so can anybody here see the very end of that, if I'm holding it up in the light? Can you see the very, very tip of that? I want you to picture the tip of that piece of string as your life here on earth. And the seemingly endless ball of string in Jack's hand as your eternity with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when putting it into those terms, I can't help but think, why would I live my life on earth in any way other than that which honors my Lord and Savior, in any way other than that which fights to cast off all the sin that so easily entangles? Ah, here we go, it's untangled. There we go. Nearly, not quite. Why would I live my life for God? Sorry, for anything other than completely for God in the light of eternity? When I think about eternity with Jesus in heaven, in a new heavens and a new earth, for the old earth has passed away. The old heavens and the old earth have passed away. When I think about that sheer perfection, it makes me completely reevaluate my life in the here and now. So I want to urge you tonight, as I just tie this piece of string onto here so that it can carry on being untangled to make the analogy complete. There we are. I want to urge you tonight to throw off every single sin that so easily entangles. And For some of you, you're sat in here knowing that you might be caught up in something, that maybe you haven't even given your life to Jesus. Maybe you know in here tonight that you're not quite right with God. And I want to urge you tonight to make that decision for him. Now, for those of you in this room who believe in Jesus, who have given your lives to him, we know that the Holy Spirit leads us into the truths that are written in the Bible. The Bible tells us how to live a life worthy of the gospel we've been called to. Our primary objective in life is to live a life close to Christ. The sacrifice on the cross proves that. It's through the grace of God. God didn't have to come to this earth to die. He didn't have to do any of that. He chose to because he loves us. Think of John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. It was in his love that he died for you. Now, one way I like to think and look at things is to ask myself, is this action putting I in the middle, or is it putting God in the middle? Now, I'll be honest with you, I find it difficult when people cut me up on the road. I find it very, very difficult when people turn before me at a roundabout without indicating. That is my particular weak spot. But for me, I like to think of the British judiciary system. No, not the judiciary system. The Houses of Parliament. That's what I like to think of. Whenever they get involved in an argument in the Houses of Parliament, apart from the shouting and the screaming on either side, the people actually standing at the box, it's the most civil argument you're ever going to hear in your life. Mr. Speaker, the honorary gentleman is wrong. Mr. Speaker, I put it to you that the honorary gentleman, and I've had to learn to say to myself sometimes in the car when I'm driving, the honorary gentleman should have indicated. The honorary gentleman should probably get his lights checked. Why is the honorary gentleman driving at 45 down the BVR? I use that as a silly little example, but sometimes in your head you do have to think, how would God respond to these people? How would God take this moment? And when I ask myself that question, I find it very hard to get angry, upset, and sinful. Is that string still not untying? Jack, it's okay if you want. Just you can sit down. We've probably seen eternity. Oh, is it gone? It's finally nearly. Oh, there we go. I'll tell you what. Keep, you can sit down if you want, but if you want to keep going, keep going. Now, our biggest battle that we face as Christians is the battle against sin that can so easily entangle us and stop us experiencing relationship with God in its fullness. How do we battle it? Well, I put it to you that we remember. And on this Remembrance Sunday, I want to urge you to remember the sacrifices made for you on this earth. Sometimes we don't want to live as crazy a life as we can, knowing that actually people have died for our freedom. People have died so that we can show kindness. People have died so that we can be free. We're free to make choices that benefit the world, benefit humanity. Then I put it to you that we can remember the sacrifices made for us in the spiritual realms. The Lord Jesus came down to this earth as a baby, and we're a month and a half away from celebrating that, although some people are already celebrating it. But he grew up and he lived a sinless, spotless, perfect life. And because he lived that life and died the death that he died, we have eternity. We face eternity with him when we accept that for ourselves. And I want us to remember that God who died for us in the future. when we wonder what our next move in life looks like, when we wonder what our life in a year is going to look like, when we wonder how on earth am I going to battle this next temptation, how on earth am I going to get through this financial crisis, you know, oh no, the car's conked out, what am I going to do? Oh no, a sudden vet's bill, what am I going to do? We remember the God who's died for us and trust him and love him and serve him eternally. Remembrance is key. So today, as we remember those soldiers, as we remember our God, and as we remember the life we must live in the light of the sacrifices and battles that have been fought for us, I pray that we'll all live a life worthy of the calling to which God has called us. Amen.